Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today's story really made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up, and I was a little panicked about the outcome. So I think you're going to enjoy the conversation too. Plus, we talk about the overlays of life and how we can fix society. It's kind of a rambly, but hopefully you'll enjoy it. It's a good conversation with Sarita Edgerton. She's a realtor in Spartanburg, South Carolina. So enjoy the conversation, and I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
All right, so tell my audience, where is Sarita? How long have you been in and around the business? Give us a little bit of backstory besides the fact that two grandmothers live to over 100, which is probably statistically a tiny subset of the world.
Probably. I live in Spartanburg, South Carolina. I am a mother of four children, and I have one of my children is married. And so I'm a mother-in-law. That is a newer title for me. And I'm really excited about that. He has set the bar really high for the rest of my children. I love him. I'd say he's my biggest fan, even above my kids. Like, I'm a member of another podcast I do on a regular basis, and he listens to all of my podcasts over and over and over again, but he is just amazing. So, and I've been in the real estate business about 3 years. I decided in the middle of COVID to get my real estate license in South Carolina. We moved 15 days before 15 days to slow the spread from North Carolina. I lived in Hendersonville. We bought our house in Spartanburg on February 29th, so it was leap year, and March 15th was when everything, the world stopped. Moving during a pandemic, don't recommend it.
So where was your stuff when the shutdown? Had your stuff arrived at the new house, or was your stuff in transit?
Our stuff had arrived at the new house. So we had lots of time to get our house in order, to get everything unpacked. You would think I would have that all done. I don't. But you know,
you have no excuse.
Getting to know people, finding a new church home, that was very difficult because everything was online at that time. And even though South Carolina, we were open back up really quickly. I think May, the governor was like, we're done with this. We're opening back up. And I am one, if someone tells me the rules are you can't walk this way in the grocery store, I do the opposite. I actually wrote a blurb about finding toilet paper and having to go the wrong way to get a pack of toilet paper for my family of six. We use toilet paper.
Yes, you do.
We use toilet paper in a big way. It was like going on safari to find the elusive pack of toilet paper, but going the wrong way. I did all of that. I was very anti not wearing masks and things like that. So I'm a bit of a rule breaker when it comes to stuff like that. Don't tell me I can't do that.
Which actually makes you a perfect fit for real estate because you have to figure out your own pathway and you have to overcome other people's obstacles in a kind and respectful way so that your clients can succeed. I mean, you think about the thousands and thousands and thousands, almost 1.6 million realtors in the country. If you don't go against the grain, how is anybody going to know you exist? So that personality trait can fit you in this business.
Yes. And I started out before I had children. I was in corporate sales and I was one of the only females at that time. I sold transportation before I became a full-time stay-at-home school mom. And I was homeschooling really before homeschooling was kind of cool, thanks to COVID. I just finished my 16th year of homeschooling, my 19th year of teaching. I actually have a teaching degree. So that's what my degree is in. And so that's how I was good at sales. That's how I got into real estate. And so that's kind of how it started. And here I am on the Lee Brown podcast. I'm so excited.
Right. So before I dig into the real estate side, what's the other podcast you're a part of? I want to know because I'm a podcast junkie myself. I want to look it up.
Okay. It's called The Burrows of Berea, like donkey burrow.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Lord, look, I can't see without my daggum glasses on. I was going to try to. I refuse to set the large font on my phone, and that's a matter of vanity for me. So I'd rather to get my stupid glasses. Burrows. Oh, hang on. No, Burrows. A Berea podcast. Here it was. Wait a minute. A conversational podcast studying the Bible and talking about it.
Where we talk about controversial subjects. We talk about things that we don't maybe understand about the Bible. And we have on the podcast, it's staff. We don't get paid for it, but we have an atheist. I'm a Southern Baptist. We have people who believe differently. Eschatology. I don't know the word. End time.
Eschatology.
Different end times beliefs. And we just talk about controversial topics and that the Bible may not clearly address. And I enjoy it, but I started out by sharing my testimony, and it is the most listened to podcast on that particular podcast. So if you go back and research, you can find my name and listen to my testimony.
Well, I'm fixing to, because that's also a perfect overlay with real estate, where we do get into conversations with people that look different than us, have different beliefs than us, and we are not on the same page, but we sit at the kitchen table and figure out how we move everybody forward. So I love that parallel, because I find that a lot of people are totally panicked about letting who they are out into the public. You just said out loud, you're a Southern Baptist, and there's a lot of people in the real estate space that would say, you can't say that because somebody might not be one. But the other podcast you have is the perfect example of, well, this is who I am. Who are you? Let's talk.
And when did we stop having the conversation between people who believe differently? I've never met anybody. I mean, I'm married to my husband now almost 24 years, and we don't believe the same things sometimes. When do we stop having conversations with people who believe differently? And we just shut people down. We call them names. We call them something phobes or something isms or ists. I don't want to do that. And I don't want to put people in boxes, because we can overlap. And my God, and I'm a Christian and I will go to the mat, my God is an all-encompassing God who loves people. And I'm commanded to love people. And I love people where they are. You may be a first-time buyer. You may be an atheist. You may be someone who doesn't look like me. Whatever it is, my commandment is to love. And I want to love people because I want to be loved. And the Bible says, love others as love your neighbors as you love yourself. So all that to be said, that podcast is about, and I may not be the real estate agent for you, but I'm going to love you, and I will send you to somebody who will help you and you may be more comfortable with. But I'm the person to tell you, I love Jesus and I love you. And no matter what you look like, what kind of car you roll up in, I'm going to love you.
Well, and that's the perk of real estate being so big, because it is so big and there are so many opportunities for people to get in at all stages of life. And as a realtor in every zip code, the consumer does have the most choice they could ever possibly have. So they can make sure they're comfortable too, because what we do is so intimate. You've got to be able to be seriously honest with somebody, but in a gracious way. And I think that's where, back to your original point there, we've gotten away from graciously being able to tell the truth, because we haven't learned how to defend it anymore. In fact, we should be bringing back the old debate style classes that we had back when we were in high school, where it was point counterpoint. And if you believed that, if you are a believer, your teacher would say, all right, you're going to be the atheist today, and I want you to defend the atheist position so that you could learn more deeply where they were coming from, and then vice versa. We maybe just get back to teaching that. And like with real estate, there are people who don't believe in home ownership. So maybe we should defend the viewpoint that says property rights are dead, there is no home ownership, so we can understand their angle and thus come up with our own argument that is stronger and more defensible to defend homeownership, because I firmly believe in homeownership. I'm just kind of thinking out loud here about how we can fix the world, because I love that viewpoint. And I don't know that we're going to be able to go anywhere as a society until we learn how to integrate differing ideas gracefully and kindly, but without having to give up all of your personal values and beliefs. You don't have to stop being who you are to let somebody else still be the human sitting next to you on the bench.
That's correct. And I had that same debate style in high school, and I don't think they teach that in
the public schools. They were teaching a lot of other stuff. There's no time left for that. But my daughter took debate. She's a senior this year when she was a freshman, but it wasn't debate. It was public speaking. And so she would show me the curriculum and what her homework assignments were. And it was talk about this. And so I'm grateful for it, because I think honestly, everybody should have to have some kind of public speaking course. I wish I'd have had it in high school. I wouldn't have been such a late bloomer, perhaps, but it was not debate. She wasn't having to defend anything with facts and figures and cognitive thinking. It was all emotion. And I'm not a fan of people that live by emotion, because frankly, it's exhausting. It's just exhausting to be emotional all the time.
Yes.
But anyway, back to real estate. So you got in 3 years ago. And yes, for all the listeners who maybe haven't heard me go off on this in other episodes, I'll just remind y'all that statistically, the churn rate is high, high, high in real estate. And most licensees give up within the first 2 years, as in 85% of them quit within the first 2 years. So anybody that makes it beyond the 2 year mark is a survivor. So high five for surviving in real estate. Although if you can manage that many kids at home homeschooling, I imagine imagine you could handle real estate.
Another overlay. Broker, I'm not going to be your top producer.
We're not playing that game. We don't rank and rate people's ability and their competence and their knowledge based on their volume on this show. So we don't even denigrate the other goals that other people have. So reboot that statement, sister. Just reboot it.
Well, I am passionate. So if I serve one client at a time or 15, I am going to be passionate for them. And I am passionate for my family. They come first.
A lot of them. You're outnumbered.
I am. I only have three in the house now. I have a senior also. Well, she's finished yesterday, was her last day. Love my daughter. And then I have a junior. I guess he's now a senior. And then I have a sophomore. So I have two boys, two girls, and a son-in-law. So, and two dogs, which they're not being crazy right now. So that's
amazing.
So yes, I heard that statistic. My broker said 80-85% of all real estate agents quit within the first year to 2 years. And I was like, okay, not doing that. I'm going to beat the statistics. I am, like I said, I don't do rules that well. So
up the grocery store aisle against the arrows. So dadgummit, you can make it in real estate. Might just have to be the title of the podcast that she went against the grocery store arrows.
That is true. And so kind of getting back to why I reached out to you is I've had some crazy things because I am a newer agent. Started out by helping other agents during COVID because they were so busy and their sphere of influences were already set. Well, I moved during COVID. I had no sphere. I had like a flat piece of paper sphere of influence. I mean, it wasn't even a sphere, like flat.
Anybody know me?
Can anybody see me? Like, yeah, whatever. So they started out, so they would say, hey, I need somebody to show a house for me. Can you show a house for me? So that's kind of how I got my feet wet. I learned how to show a house, learned how to research the property. My husband's a land surveyor, so I got all of that. By the way, he's registered in North Carolina and South Carolina, so if you ever need one. So I learned how to do research. I learned how to look at the seller's disclosures and all of these things. And it really started when we sold our property in North Carolina and bought our property here. And that's really sort of what got me started. Why I wanted to do it. My husband was like, I wish you were a real estate agent because I basically kind of told my real estate agent what I wanted to do for our house here. I was like, I want to put this offer in and I want you to include this thing. And she's like, I don't really recommend that. And I'm like, okay, I know you don't recommend it, but this is what I want you to do. And so I got what I wanted. He was like, you're really good at this. Maybe you should think about it. I said, okay, I'll think about it. And South Carolina had recently, I think the year before, made it where you could do your real estate classes online, which during COVID became a thing. So South Carolina had actually done something that not reacting to the curve. I know, right? And so that's what I did. I studied and took the tests online. I actually had to go to North Carolina to take my licensing, which was bizarre because North Carolina was shut down completely. I actually had to go to Charlotte, Gastonia to take it, and which is kind of where you are, right? And then I started out, like I told you, by helping people show houses or maybe taking referrals that they were too busy to take. And it might have been that they had a property that they listed and they had a client call about it or somebody call about it and they referred them to me. Had some crazy encounters. And that's why I reached out to you about this because I have a couple of stories that might make you laugh a little bit if you're up for that.
Let's go for it. I mean, that's what my listeners are here for, is to say, wait, what? So that's what I want to hear is even in 3 years, you haven't been in forever and the situations just appear. So what's the biggest one that you love to tell about?
Okay. So this one actually just happened a couple months ago. So this one didn't happen during the learning curve.
We name no names here. The guilty must identify themselves.
No. So I got a call about a piece of property and I said, sure, give me your name. And I did a little research with our Forewarn app. I don't know if y'all use that in North Carolina.
I'm a South Carolina member, and that was my favorite benefit because we don't have it in North Carolina yet. So high five, South Carolina.
Again, you're the president, so you can make that happen.
If you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14-karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime while also managing sky-high fuel costs at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now, and it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession, and it's all because of education This course is 4 modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible because, friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link,
www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content.
We're trying. There are a couple of hoops you have to jump through, but South Carolina is trying to help North Carolina do that because we sister states, you know.
Well, yeah. And y'all just helped us with the seller's disclosure and the due diligence thing. So we're helping each other. So anyway, I did my due diligence on my buyer's side. And so he said, okay, I want to see this property. I said, okay. I called the list agent doing my due diligence. What can you tell me about the property? It's been on the market for a little bit of time, which is unusual. Properties aren't staying on 100 days, right? So I knew something was a little off. And she said, well, please feel free to go show the property. Just want to tell you that the seller's relative lives in the home and that person will be there when you show the house. And he's a little odd. Okay, no problem. I have a family. I'm from the South. We do odd. Okay. You feel me? I mean, I'm from Shelby, North Carolina. We do a little odd.
My girlfriend County in the house, but you know, we don't hide our crazy people in the South. We just put them out on the front porch and everybody else is fine.
With a glass of sweet tea.
Okay.
So I show up to the property and I had informed my client that all of the things would be happening. So I show up, I'm early, I'm always early. He's already there talking to the person who lives on the property. And okay, so we're standing there talking, and odd is the word that I would use to describe this particular human being. God loves him and God created him. So I was trying to be gracious. So we're standing there having this conversation. He clearly wants the property to be sold because he'll get a cut of whatever they're related. And this was family property going back 70 to 100 years. Okay. So when family is involved in business, sometimes it doesn't go well. So we're all standing there talking and he's talking about the person who owns the property and it's not pleasant. We're standing in this threesome real tight outside of the actual house. We're standing on the property. And he goes, yeah, after my conviction, and this wasn't a religious conviction, this was a felonious conviction. He said, after my conviction, things just kind of fell apart. And I looked at him, and so not asking the question, because I'm not going to ask that question because my mama told me to be polite. My buyer says, conviction
no,
for...
No buyer.
She's already there. And he goes, yeah, I was convicted for making bombs.
Were you now?
We both took about 3 steps backwards and was like, how about that? Nice. How long ago was that? He told us, and it wasn't terribly long ago. And so he goes, but it was wrong. You have the right. I was like, okay, sure. Can we go toward the property now? Because I'm like, I do have my concealed carry in South Carolina as a woman to protect myself. So in my purse, my hand went and just kind of rested, if you know what I'm saying. I'm not going to go into specifics there. So I looked at my buyer and said, would you like to tour the property? So we go to tour the property. Okay. That was crazy. Wasn't the craziest thing about this particular property. So we're getting ready to go inside the house, which has no monetary value at all. I could not believe someone was living here. So we're standing outside. We're getting ready to go in. And I could hear these 2 dogs going bananas, right? And I said, are your dogs?
They were in the house going bananas?
They were in the house going bananas. And my buyer and I are standing there and he goes, yeah, they're really nice. About that time, one of the dogs blew the door off. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, that's a chocolate. That's not a chocolate lab. I thought it was a chocolate lab because he looked like my dog. I have a chocolate lab. He looked like a pit bull with his ears pinned back. So I'm standing there. My client, he's not elderly, but he's older. Okay. Older than I. So about that time, the door blew off and this pit bull is rushing. So mind you, my hand is still in my purse on my weapon. I thought, I'm going to have to go home and tell my daughter that I shot a dog. This is what I thought. That dog lunges at my client and I am in mid-pull, like freaking out. My older client is going to be pushed to the ground, bitten maybe. Just in the nick of the time, the Unabomber gets the leash and stops him inches from my client's body.
Thank heavens.
Thank heavens. He goes, since the dogs are outside, y'all can go in the house now. I was like, I don't even know. Do you want this property? Are we still doing this? And he goes, but I do warn you. And I was like, there's another warning. He goes, yeah, the toilet hasn't worked for about 5 years.
Okay. Well, yeah, thank you so much.
So we did go in the house. It was bad. It was real, real bad. Real bad. Like, I have been to several third world countries on mission trips. It was nothing there I saw was like this. It was bad. So all that to say, that was a crazy story. He was a convicted bomb maker. How do you get out of jail for that? I don't know. How do you make a bomb?
And you'd have no way to know. I mean, it's one of those things that you kind of think through the story. You're always, as a realtor, be smarter in the future. How do I do better research? But when it's a occupant and not the owner, there is zero way for a practicing realtor to know who the occupant is. And then you start thinking about the, and I know I'll have some viewers and listeners that are thinking, oh, you shouldn't be carrying a weapon. I just want to remind y'all that when you carry concealed, it's not just for humans. It's because a dog that has been trained to attack, they can maul somebody to death. And there are certain breeds that do, but a lot of breeds can be trained to maul somebody. And as realtors, we want to protect our clients. And you have no way of knowing that the dog's in the house. And even if it's disclosed that there's pets on the property, you kind of don't expect them to blow a door down and come at your throat. And so you start thinking, all right, so how do we do this better? And frankly, this, I would say, just as a professional realtor, this goes back to that listing agent who should have said, I can't list the property right now, because the listing agent should have gone there. And frankly, the mama hen busybody side of me says, I really wish somebody had done a mental wellness check over there, because somebody that's living in a house where facilities haven't worked, they need professional help if something has gone sideways. And if we're going to be kind to the public, sometimes the kindness is calling out a mental wellness check.
Well, maybe that's so. I'm not the list agent on the property, and bless her heart, she was doing the best that she could in a really bad familial situation between the seller and the occupant.
Well, she was, Sarita, but also a top realtor that's on their A game for liability and competence and knowledge. Sometimes you say no to some listings. And this whole scenario just sounds like wasn't ready for the market, unless you were going to set it up as sight unseen, no showings, no viewings. If you want to buy it, toss an offer in and we'll figure it out then. But I mean, it takes a certain amount of gumption as a realtor to walk away from a listing where you can see warning flags. And I have to wonder if they couldn't see the warning flags when they went to the property the first time. Now, I say this, of course, 23 years in my early days, I took all kinds of listings that were questionable because I needed the business so bad. In retrospect, I look back and say, probably could have made a safer choice.
And I know maybe you have some people who will listen to this and think you shouldn't carry, but I am a female and I do go out to places that I'm not a UFC fighter, and I have been assaulted way back in the past, and I teach my daughters not to put themselves in situations where they can't defend themselves.
Right.
Not that anybody deserves to be assaulted, but just always be head on a swivel watching constantly.
Who's got you six, right? That's what we say, but you're going to be in a situation like that house, police ain't getting there in any kind of time frame that can stop it. You were properly trained and equipped and licensed for it. And so I just remind people, you've got to be thoughtful about your protection, because we are in an inherently dangerous business. And I'll just tell anybody who's listening and watching, before Sarita got into real estate, there was a scenario that happened in Arkansas, a wonderful realtor by the name of Beverly Carter. And if y'all don't know the story of Beverly Carter, I guess this was 6 years ago, 7 years ago. It was pre-COVID, and her son, Carl Carter, is now one of our most eloquent speakers about realtor safety, because his mama went out to show a house and got murdered and put in a shallow grave. And the people that did it to her did get caught. But if Beverly had had a better set of, I don't know if safety protocols could have helped her, but frankly, if she'd have had a weapon and had been trained to use it, she'd have had a better chance. But anyway, realtors are in an inherently dangerous job. And I'm so grateful that you were ready and willing to protect your client. And I'm also glad y'all got out of that house alive.
We did not put an offer on the house. It was just, it was a little bit much. It was a bless your heart kind of moment.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's my biggest story. My husband says I always find the craziest stuff, whether I'm driving or whatever. I see the craziest junk out there. I showed a house one time that was one of my in my brokerage, and I showed a house for her, and I was assured by the list agent the renter was going to be out of the house. You unlock the little Supra and you put the key in the lock, and I open the door and I'll go, real estate agent. I just kind of make that announcement, even if the house is brand new and empty. I open the door, real estate agent, look around. The house is pretty much empty and it felt empty. So I look at my buyer and I open the door and we step in and out pops the renter.
Oh,
in a state of undress.
All right.
I look at my buyer and she and her husband look at me and we're like, we'll wait outside till you're done. So we go back outside and stand out by the road waiting for this poor fella to accommodate himself. And he does come out and sit in the front yard while I show my clients the house. Yeah, that was another situation. I was like, saw a bit more of the house than I thought I was going to see.
Well, that's a nice way to put it. You know, I've done some unscientific research and I estimate that at least a third of professional realtors have encountered a naked person in the process of conducting real estate. Not to say naked, because they're not always doing something while they're naked, but we see way too much skin in this business and it's completely unexpected every single freaking time. I don't have any eye bleed. As we wrap up this very fun little chat here, I want you to give one piece of advice to a new realtor. So an early career realtor who's newer than you are. What's the one piece of advice you would give to them or to the public if they're hiring their own realtor? Get one of those and give a piece of advice to the listeners and viewers.
I think sometimes give the newer person a shot, not that having an experienced agent, because as a new realtor, I'm fortunate enough to be in a brokerage where my broker loves us. He educates us. We have two other managing brokers who I can call and say, hey, is this the right thing? Did I do this right? I don't always pass that along to my clients. I don't want them to feel like that. Sometimes that newer realtor, especially if they're in a good brokerage, they have that support system where they can figure out the paperwork. They can figure out the next steps, but they're passionate. They're wanting to get started. They're hungry. They may not have 25 buyer clients. They may not have 25 sellers, so they can do the personal. We all had to start somewhere in our career. We were a first-year teacher. We were a first-year politician. Lord, we could have do with a few more of those. We were all a first-time cashier where we didn't understand, but you were hungry. And so maybe that person doesn't have 25 years in the business and is a legacy member and all of that stuff. Maybe that person has 25 days in the business. She or he will give you 100% of their passion. So give that newer person a shot.
There we go.
Maybe you look at the brokerage instead of, okay, I looked at this one particular real estate agent. She doesn't have a lot of experience, but that broker in charge, that has fantastic reviews. And so maybe give that person a shot. And I'm grateful for those people who have trusted me, who have helped me stay in the business 3 years, because I am passionate for my clients. I am passionate for my listings and for my buyer clients. It was really tough, and you can attest to this, to have buyer clients during 2021 and 2022, especially the first part of 2022. It was insane because you literally were standing in properties showing them and they went under contract.
Sarita, if somebody wants to find an amazing realtor and give them a shot right there in Spartanburg, South Carolina, how can they reach you and what's the best way for them to find you?
You can find on Facebook, Sarita Edgerton Realtor. I have a Facebook page and our brokerage is Ponce Realty Group. Robert Ponce is my broker in charge. I love him to pieces. He's just good people. He's good people.
That's a phrase the rest of the world should adopt from us because it tells a lot of a story. And Sarita, thank you so much for coming on the podcast to give us a very uncomfortable and luckily you came out of a good story, but also some perspective on realtor life and life. So I appreciate you for coming on to chat with me today.
Well, I appreciate you. You're a mentor to me and I look up to you and I can't wait to see you in Greenville very soon.
I will see you very soon. And for all of my listeners, say something nice about Sarita down in the comments and make sure you subscribe for more episodes, and all of her contact information, as usual, is in the show notes for this episode. So you can call Sarita if you have questions about South Carolina or homeschooling or her other podcast. Ask her about anything, I imagine she'll tell you. All right, friends, make sure you tune back in next time and we'll see you.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, well, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown or tweet me at Lee Brown or frankly any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.